Shkalim Perek Vav Mishnah Hey 6-5, and now we return to the topic which we wanted to talk about, which is Shlosha Sar Shofaros Hai B'Mikdash. There were a total of 13 chests in which money was kept in the Beis HaMikdash. These 13 chests were kept in the Azara and in like a circular arrangement. The reason why they're called Shofaros again is because they are shaped like a shofar, and as much as they are wide on the bottom and narrow on top, this would prevent people who are being tricky from looking like attempting to steal money by making it look like they're putting money in when really they're taking money out. Okay, so they couldn't get their hand in all the way. Now, each of these 13 shofaros have a different label on them, as the Mishnah says, V'chasuv aleihen. On those 13 were written. Now we're going to break it up into two groups, 7 and then 6. The first 7 had the words written, Tiklin Chadatin, new shekels, V'tiklin Atikin, old shekels, Kinin, pairs of birds, V'gozle Ola, fledgling birds for to be holy burned offerings, Eitzim, wood, Ulavona, frankincense, and Zahav, Lechaforos, and gold for utensils. So that's 7 again. Number 1, okay, well, I don't do it again. Okay, and then there were the first 7, and then Shisha, there were another 6, Linadava, that were there for voluntary offerings. Now we're going to break it out and explain each one in turn. So before I do, those 6 Linadava actually had something specific written on each of the 6, and that was Mosar Chatas was one of them, Mosar Asham was another, Mosar Kine Zavon Zavos Viodos was a third, Mosar Karbonos Nazir a fourth, Mosar Asham Metzora the fifth, and generic Nadava the sixth. So what's going on? Let me speak about these second ones first. So when you have something like Mosar Chatas or Mosar Ashim, what we mean is the extra money that was left over that you had set aside to purchase a korban, like a Chatas or an Ashim, if there was change that had already been sanctified with the Kedushas Damim of purchasing a offering. Like, for example, a person knows he needs to bring a Chatas, so he sets aside money and says, these $100, you know, these $100 are the coins I'm going to use to purchase my Chatas. And then when he goes to the shop, the best chatas he can find is just $95, so he has $5 change. Those $5 are coins. Those $5 are coins. What does he do with them? They have kedusha, so he has to give them to the Beis HaMikdash, and since he can't bring another chatas, he only can bring one for one crime. He can't just do a voluntary chatas, sin offering. So therefore, he will put it in this container, this shofar labeled Mosar Chatas, leftover cash, excess cash that has chatas kedusha, and with that, they will purchase a voluntary offering, an ola, the kites mizbeach, these olos that were brought when the altar was idle. Same goes with the Mosar Asham, that leftover money that was consecrated to be a guilt offering, and same goes with all the other the others. The idea being that although all these coins are going to end up in the exact same destination, purchasing olos to be offered when the Mizbeach is idle. But we want to keep people informed and mindful of the fact that if you have leftover cash from your purchase of your chatas, let's say, and it already had been consecrated, so then you have to put it here. You can't just put it back in your pocket or put it some other use. So therefore, we have specific chests to remind people of that. The sixth one of the 6 that are marked Linadava just has a generic Linadava for voluntary gifts, and that's if people want to give to Kites Mizbeach, they can just put their money in there. Anytime that they committed to some sort of money to go on the Mizbeach, like to buying a generic korban, anything more specific than that, so that's not Bedeka bias, that's just money to korbanos, and therefore it goes in the Nadava box. Okay, that's the latter 6. But let's go back to the first 7. So what do we do with those? So first we have Tiklin Chadatin. So in Aramaic, the shin of Hebrew turns to a tuf. So therefore, the taklin is the same as shkalin, and also the mem of Hebrew goes to a nun in the plural, like im and in. So therefore, taklin are really shkalim. Chadatin, again, the shin of chadash becoming the tuf, chadatin. So you have, these are the new shekels, meaning shekels that belong to this year that people fail to bring on time. What you're supposed to do is give your shekelim in Adar, and they find their way into that chamber, the Lishka. But if people didn't do that for whatever reason, when they come to the Beis HaMikdash and they owe a machzor shekel for this year, they'll put their shekel into this container Tatlin Chanatin, the new shekels, which then will be emptied out on a regular basis, perhaps every night, into the chamber from which the three samples will be taken over the course of the year, as we explained before. So that's the Tatlin Chanatin are Shebechol Shana Veshana, they're for this current year's contribution. In contrast, the second one, which is labeled Atikin, the Taklin Atikin, the old shekels, Atik means old, like Ir HaAtika, the old city of Jerusalem, for example. So those are the old shekels, meaning shekels that were should have been paid for the Machsa Shekel, but it's too late, meaning that's from last year's contribution, which you failed to give. Or even if you're talking about this year's, but you're talking after the third sample was taken, the third truma was taken from Lishka already, you can just go into Taklin Atik and it's all the same because it's going to go in to what we discussed before, the leftover unused shekelim for purchase of various things we discussed in detail previously. So that is, specifically says the Mishnah, Mishalo shakal eshtakad, if someone failed to contribute to shekel last year, shokel l'shana haba, he has to at least make that financial contribution for this year, but of course those coins can't be used for this year's shekelim because it's last year's, on this year's won't do, everyone has to give exactly one half shekel per year. The third we have is the, you know, let me actually, I see that the Mishnah doesn't go back. So let me, before we go to the third and fourth, 5, 6, and 7 were Eitzim for wood. If you contributed, if you committed to contribute to the wood for the pyre on the altar that you put in the Eitzim container. The Lavona, that was for the frankincense, if you committed to bring frankincense, so you want to frankincense, so you go in the Lavona chest, and Zahav L'chapores, that's referring to either L'chaforot or Kaporet. It's gold that would be used to for the utensils, like the cups and knives and so on, the utensils used in the Beis HaMikdash. That word Kaporet is based on couple of times that the word is used in Tanakh, like in Ezra, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Yud, Pasuk Yud, I should say, which calls Kfore Zahav, golden utensils, and that's what we're talking about. Okay, so if you want to contribute to the new utensils, you put it in that container. Now, the two that were labeled about the birds, so those we said were labeled, one was labeled Kenan. Kenan means pairs of birds, or literally means nests, but pairs of birds. And gozle ola means holy burnt, holy offered fledglings, little birds. Now, what are these, the difference between these two containers? What are their uses? So now, according to the Rabbi Yehuda, who's speaking first, we say one is gozle ola, excuse me, he says kinim, the one that's for kinim, for the pairs, for birds, that's hem torim. That's if you're going to give a tor, that's like a dove, a fully mature dove. And if it says the gozle ola, the burned fledglings, they're called squabs, baby pigeons, hen b'nei yona, those are the b'nei yona, the young, immature pigeons. The idea being that the Torah only allows two types of birds to be brought as bird offerings, a tor and a b'nei yona. Tor is a mature dove, and a b'nei yona is an immature young pigeon. So those are your options, and he says one for each. And v'chulan olo, says the Mishnah, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds that whether you put your money into one or the other, the kinim or the gozle ola, they're going to end up as olos, meaning they're all going to be burned, and there's no place for offering a bird chatas. Now, when it comes to birds, there are two types of korbanos. When it comes to bird offerings, you have olos and chataos. That's it, just a chatas and ola. And most of the time, when you bring birds, you bring them in a pair, like a zava or a zava. One is an ola and one is a chatas. Nevertheless, according to Behuda, there's no shofar for putting money in to have a chatas brought. The reason why is because he's afraid that someone could, if we would have, let's say, a single container where you could put in $2 and that would buy you one ola and one chatas bird. The problem is, if a person would subsequently die prior to that bird being offered, you can't bring a chatas for a dead person. And since the money is mixed in, now all the money becomes forbidden, and therefore we're totally stuck because all the other people who contributed put their money in can't have their birds brought. So Rabbi Yehuda says, nothing doing. We're using only voluntary burnt bird offerings and just have two kinds of birds, so two kinds of containers. But if you want to actually bring a pair of birds, we do facilitate that. You don't have to bring your own birds from home, which is a challenging thing to do, but you have to either bring the birds and give the birds to the Kohanim, or you can give them cash in hand and someone over there will take care of it. You give money and they'll give you the bird. They'll take care of the birds for you. We're not just putting money for a pair of olen chatas together, a pair of birds, a cane, inside a container because we're afraid that someone could die and then mess everything up. But the Chacham say, no, that's exactly what it is. Chacham omrim, kinin. If you put your money in the kinin, that means a pair of birds. That's echad chatas v'echad ola, exactly that. It's like an old school vending machine of the first century. You put your money in the shofar, and then they take responsibility that day they'll bring a pair of birds and olen chatas on your behalf. And that way, if you are needing to bring a pair of birds, it can be done for you without you having to deal with the tricky business of birds which fly about and cause all sorts of mischief, as we learn in Maseches Kinim. And the gozli ola, that is kulan ola. So if you want to do just enough voluntary burnt offering, that will go in the gozli ola container, and that'll be burned as just an ola offering. So according to the Chachamim, they say it's true that there is a totally far out outside chance that someone could die, but if that happens, what we could do is simply is measure out one portion of money, the amount that's for achatas, throw that into the ocean, and then use all the rest for money and just discard one. And we'll say, through what's called brera, retroactively, we'll say that money was for that person's, by the bird of the person who bought the bird of the person who can't bring achatas. Now, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't allow for brera. He says brera just doesn't work on a deraisa level. There's no such thing as brera, and therefore he can't rely on that. Therefore, he doesn't let the problem start by disallowing people putting money in for kinim in the first place for a pair of birds. Okay, the Rambam says the halacha is like the chachamim, that indeed there was one container which you could put your money in and get yourself a pair of birds.